Well, a blessed Pentecost day to everybody. Put the microphone on. Blessed Pentecost day to everybody. It's a happy occasion in the life of the church, and we should never forget that. This morning, I'm going to share a message out of the events of that particular day, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It says this: when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house as they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together, and they were bewildered, because each of them was hearing them speak in their own language. They were amazed and astonished. Why? Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of them, we hear them in our own language, to which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own language speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They're full of sweet wine." Well, friends, the reality is that there are many days that are significant in world history. Days that have changed our world. But from a Christian perspective, this particular day, friend, is the most significant in terms of how it, apart, you know, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, this particular day, friends, for us as the church, is the most significant day, because it's the day in which, in many ways, God began a new way of kind of working with people. Jesus had promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, and on this particular day, the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I want to remind us of is the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Just think a little bit of the setting. It was called the day of Pentecost. What does the word Pentecost mean? Well, the word Pentecost simply means 50. 50 days. Have you ever wondered why 50? Why is it called 50? Well, let me tell you. Why were there a number of Jewish people in town on that day? Well, the Jews were celebrating a festival, and the Jews still celebrate it even to this day. And this weekend they are celebrating what they call is Shavuot. And Shavuot in the Bible is what we call the Festival of Weeks. Why is it the Festival of Weeks? Well, let me tell you. When the Jewish people left Egypt, they had the Passover feast. And 7 weeks and a day later, 50 days later, God gave them the Ten Commandments. So that's where the celebration of the giving of the Ten Commandments is what Jewish people celebrate. They celebrate the Festival of Weeks, 7 weeks from the Passover till the time they received the Word of God. And friends, we celebrate the same thing as Christians. Because 50 days from the crucifixion of Christ to the giving of the Holy Spirit is, friends, the day which we call now our 50 days, the day of Pentecost. There were many people around. There were at least 120, we are told in this passage, that had gathered to await the outpouring of the Spirit. They didn't know exactly how it was going to happen. But friends, there were many others in town that day. Many others, as you read, from all these different places. So that's just laying the setting. Then the Spirit is given. The arrival of the Spirit. Jesus had promised that the Spirit would come. And the Spirit comes in a number of different ways, which confirms what happened in the Old Testament to prove that this was God Himself that was arriving. First of all, it tells us there was a great sound, like the sound of the rushing of wind. Well, friends, of course, because the Spirit came without a body, there needed to be some way to kind of alert people to the fact that the Spirit of God was coming. And just like when we, you know, when we kind of suddenly feel this breeze amongst us, sometimes you hear the wind before you even see it. So there was a great sound at the outpouring of the Spirit amongst the people that day. Well, can you think of where that in the Old Testament was important? Well, let me remind you, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, one of the lessons the children are learning for the scripture exam that many of them will be writing today, was the lesson of the dry bones. Remember the story of the dry bones in Ezekiel chapter 37? In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel sees this valley. And God says to him, what do you see? It's a valley of dry bones. And then God says, well, preach to those dry bones. And Ezekiel begins to preach to those dry bones. And then there is a wind. A wind that blows over, and the bones start coming together, and the tendons pull them together, and they start forming people. And then eventually the Spirit blows on them, and they come alive, and they become a mighty army for God in the book of Ezekiel 37. And friends, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy of great sound. As God poured out His Spirit into those dead people, God, friends, poured out His Spirit into the dead people that needed the Spirit of God in their lives. And friends, we still need the Spirit of God in our lives. Even to this day, we need to be praying that the Spirit of God would pour Himself in to the lives of people, because, friends, many people are dead in Christ. They're not alive. They need the Spirit in them. And then the next symbol is the symbol of the tongues of fire. So not only was there a great sound, there was a great sight. A fire appeared and spread amongst them and came upon them and rested upon them. Of course, in the Old Testament, friends, the image of fire was often there to represent God. I reminded the children of one of those. Moses, as he was out in the wilderness, sees this bush burning, and he sees a fire. And as he approaches the fire, friends, God says to him, take off your shoes, this is a holy place. But friends, that's not the only place where fire appeared. Because as the Israelites went through the wilderness, they were led by a cloud, a pillar of in the daytime, but a pillar of fire at nighttime. Sure. The Holy Spirit's coming, be careful. Friends, the reality is there was a great sight. They saw the Spirit of God. And they would have understood. They would have connected the dots, friends. They would have remembered what happened to Moses. They would have remembered what happened when Moses received the Ten Commandments. Because there, friends, too, was this great mountain covered with smoke. Friends, there was a visual outpouring, not only an audio outpouring. And then, friends, there's a great anointing. It tells us Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the key moment in Christianity, friends. Because you see, up until that point in time, the Spirit of God led them. But led them from outside. The Spirit of God was outside of them. Or the Spirit of God was in some people who was leading the nation of Israel. But at this point in time, friends, the Spirit of God comes not only on them, but in them. And they have this wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit arriving in them. And in Acts chapter 1, friends, we are reminded that this is prophesied in the book of Joel. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it says this. It's actually chapter 2 and verse 14. Peter stood up on that day. Says, these men aren't drunk. In verse 16 it says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Friends, this was the fulfillment of Scripture. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. There was the sound, there was the sight, and now, friends, there is the experience. The great anointing, as the Spirit gets poured into the lives of people. And we'll see what the reaction is. Because out of the people comes a great speech. Verse 4 tells us, they began to speak to one another in tongues as was given them utterance. What does it mean they were able to speak in tongues? Well, very clearly from this passage, the tongues were not unintelligible sounds. The tongues that these people were given on this particular day was the ability to speak in another language. Because all of a sudden, from amongst the apostles, who generally were uneducated fishermen, they suddenly were able to preach in languages they had never learned before. And the people who were around them heard them speaking about Jesus in their own language, friends. And this is the start of the church. Because up until this point in time, friends, the church was kind of limited just to Jewish people. Jesus came primarily to the Jews. And it was the Jewish people who were first the converts. But this is the beginning of the church. Because now the gospel message, friends, is not only available to those who could understand what Jesus was saying as he spoke in Aramaic and in Hebrew. But now, friends, the gospel is available to anybody and everybody. What a great encouragement that happens. This incredible event, the momentous event that happened 50 days after Jesus died and rose again, in the same way that the Jews celebrated the reception of the written word. The word came from heaven into Moses' hand, and he handed the Jewish people the written word. Jesus had come as the living word. He had come amongst them as the living word and shown them that he was the word of God. But now, friends, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus comes to put his word within us. Because that's what the Spirit of God comes to do, friends. The Spirit of God comes within us. And we love God because we love him with all of our hearts. We don't love him because of rules and regulations. We love him, friends, because he has come to live in our hearts. So, as the Spirit is poured out, secondly, I want to remind you of the astonishing thing that the Holy Spirit brought. What happened on that day? Well, friends, there was a devout crowd. It tells us there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation. These people were in Jerusalem, friends, because they had come to realize that the Bible that they had at that point in time, which was the Old Testament, was the Word of God. But now they're receiving the indwelling Word of God. The friend, the Spirit, seeks to meet people at their point of need. The Holy Spirit will never violate your personality. The Holy Spirit will never force himself upon somebody. But friends, the Holy Spirit comes upon those who are eager to understand and know the things of God. The Spirit of God is not going to violate you, friends. If you don't want the Spirit of God to lead you, the Spirit of God will leave you alone. But if you want the Spirit of God to lead you, like these people who were in Jerusalem on that day, they were seeking after God. Friends, the Holy Spirit is ready to come into any heart that seeks him. Not only is it a devout crowd, but it's a diverse crowd. Luke writes that there were people from every language. Now, we know that isn't technically true, because there were people across the world that were not represented there. Certainly there were people in Egypt, and in India and China and other parts of the world which are not mentioned in this particular case. But 16 different people groups are mentioned at this particular time. And they are representative of the group of the people, friends, that would go into all the world. I'm happy to say that there was an African representative amongst these people as well. And an African representative who was able to have the Spirit of God pour out on them and fill them and be ready to be used by them. People from Egypt and Libya, all across from Cyrene. Simon of Cyrene is probably one of those. So, friends, the Spirit of God gets poured onto devout crowd and also a diverse crowd. But when the Spirit of God gets poured upon them, they become the dumbfounded crowd. It says they were amazed at how God worked. Astonished and amazed. And friends, we know that the Spirit of God works in amazing ways, does he not? That's the work of the Spirit. Whenever something happens that you can't understand, that you have not tried to kind of manipulate yourself, friends, that is the work of the Spirit. We were reading about that in our quiet time together this morning. Friends, the reality is God works. We don't have to work to do things for God, friends. God works. Then there's a delighted crowd. When they realize what is happening, it tells them they were continued and amazed and greatly perplexed. Why were they delighted? Because they were hearing the word, hearing the gospel message in their own tongue. Friends, how that has been repeated over and over again through world history. As missionaries have gone into this world, as they have learned the languages of people amongst whom they have gone to serve, and as they have translated the Bible into those languages, and as people have received the Bible in their own languages and able to read the Word of God in their own languages, friends, there is great joy and celebration when they're able to receive the Word of God in their own language. Friends, God works in miraculous ways. But notice lastly in this regard, they were a divided crowd as well. Even although the Spirit of God was doing a miraculous thing, even although God was there in a very real way, through fire and wind and the ability to speak in other languages, there were still people who didn't believe in God. Isn't that sad? Some people who just said, no, these are drunk people. Friends, that's the reality of the things of God. Even although God moves in a mysterious ways, even although God works in mighty ways, there are still people who will refuse to believe that this is truly the work of God. And we must never forget, friends, that the world is blinded by Satan. And they cannot understand the ways of God. Thirdly, I want just to look at the action of the Holy Spirit. What did he do? There's this one sign, this one ability, is the ability to speak in tongues. It's a real supernatural sign, friends. It's different from the other signs. God had appeared as fire in the past. God had appeared as wind in the past. But now, friends, God gives them the ability to speak in different languages. What's so significant about this? Well, it also points to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you'll remember, there were people building a tower. And at that point in time, they thought they could become a god or go to the god. So they built that big tower. We know it as the Tower of Babel, don't we? Because at that point in time, friends, God separated them by language. But now, God brings them together, regardless of their language. What God, friends, had caused confusion through the Tower of Babel, now he was bringing them together because united, the church, friends, will move together. That's the fulfillment of the Spirit on the lives of people. The Holy Spirit, friends, must be the one who empowers the Christians to speak in foreign languages. So how should we understand this today? Friends, my understanding is that the speaking in tongues refers primarily to the speaking in another human dialect. There are some say that it is glossolalia, that you can speak in a heavenly language And the Apostle Paul does talk about that at a later stage. But friends, this is the first experience of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to understand the pattern of the work of the Holy Spirit, this is the one that we should turn to. Because yeah, the people are given the ability to speak in other languages. The Apostle Paul also makes it clear that not everybody is given the Holy Spirit in this particular way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he tells us that we are given different kinds of gifts of the Spirit. Some were given the ability to speak in the languages of others. However, everybody who becomes a Christian receives the Holy Spirit. That's the message. Everybody who becomes a believer and accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that has gone from the written word to the living word to the indwelling word, the word now becomes part of us, friends. Comes to live in with us, live in us. It's not external anymore. It's not out there. The word of God, the prophets tell us, will be written on the hearts of people. That's what the Holy Spirit, friends, has come to do. So does the Spirit of God, or does Pentecost, still matter today? Is it still important for us today? It's important for two reasons, friends. First one is this. It's proof that when Jesus promises something, he will always keep his promise. That's the first thing, encouragement we can draw from the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. You see, the another comforter. Jesus was the first comforter, and now another comforter. The word for the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is the word paraclete, which means the comforter. Jesus is sending us another comforter. And he promised he would send us the Holy Spirit. But friends, Jesus didn't only promise that he was going to send us the Holy Spirit. Jesus made many other promises. Here are two that just to remind you. First of all, Jesus said, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Isn't that encouraging? Jesus said he's going to send the Spirit, and we know he sent the Spirit, and Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. And we know he's with us because he goes with us every step of the way. But friends, Jesus made another promise. What's the other promise? I'm coming again, he said. So whatever you may be facing today, friend, don't let it get you down. Don't let it frustrate you, because Jesus said, I'm coming again. But there's a second reason why the Holy Spirit, we can rejoice on this day of Pentecost. Because friends, it's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to spread the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work of conversion. You see, when God first called the Israelites and gave them the job of telling the world about them, about God, it was their responsibility to convince people, and they didn't do a very good job of it. But now, friends, the thing we can relax in is that the work of conversion is not our job. Our job is simply to speak, like they did on the day of Pentecost, simply to speak about Jesus, to speak about the good works, the great works that Jesus came to do, and the Holy Spirit would be the one who would do the conversion.